Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today, we look into patterns of manipulation within mainstream media through the lens of a very interesting thread called Positive Changes That Are Occurring. In the last several years, the news of birds falling out of the sky, disappearing bees, droughts, massive fish dieouts continue to be reported in the corporate-owned mainstream press. The second net, truth media, picks up the propaganda, often with a conspiratorial spin, such as speculating about electromagnetic weapons zapping the birds out of the sky, and more. There are substantial reports linking Monsanto's pesticides and the death of pollinating insects. However, what's not often reported are rejuvenation processes in nature, such as the return of wild salmon, waterfowl, rodent populations, raptors, and the list goes on. This approach in highlighting the positive change is the basis for the unique work of a person who posts on the site etheric warriors.com. These positive changes are not limited to the increase in the vital flora and fauna, but they're also cited in numerous examples of small but significant changes in areas such as raising the minimum wage, removing harmful chemicals from processed food, corrupt people being forced to step down from positions of power, people canceling their cable TV, their wireless accounts, and re-engaging with the physical world. Those are some examples. Jeff, who started Positive Changes That Are Occurring, joins us. But first, we speak with Dr. Chris Nagy, Director of Research and Land Management at the Mianus River Gorge, Bedford, New York. We talk with him about the Gotham Coyote Project and reasons for the increase of wildlife within dense urban centers, such as New York City. Dr. Chris Nagy, welcome to In Other News.
Thank you.
The Gotham Coyote Project has been tracking coyotes in New York for a number of years, and you use cameras and a number of different technological aspects. Can you tell listeners what the Gotham Coyote Project does?
Yeah, well, primarily we're a research effort with many collaborators. I work most closely with another biologist at the Museum of Natural History, Mark Weckel, but we've collaborated with a lot of people, and it's growing. So we're basically trying to see where coyotes are in the city and what their status is with regard to breeding. With the cameras that we use, that's our main method of collecting data right now. You basically just get pictures of coyotes, but there's no way to know, you know, which coyote is which, or you can't tell if this coyote is the same as another one. You can't tell how many there are. We're looking into new things. But when we started, we knew next to nothing about coyotes in New York. We'd get a sighting every couple of years. Certainly some neighborhoods were reporting, you know, regular sightings. You know, despite the limitations of the cameras, they've told us a lot that we didn't know, mainly that they are, in fact, breeding in certain sections of the city, and we've actually watched that change over time. Namely, they're increasing in terms of the number of places that we find them, and they're increasing in the number of places where we find dens.
This particular species we're speaking about is the eastern coyote, I understand. What do you attribute the increase in population within New York City?
Well, the reason that we're seeing them now is basically just due to the fact that they're just the general rate of their expansion into our area. They were first arrived in New York State in the 40s. They made it to Westchester County, the county right north of New York City, in the 80s, 90s, and we started getting our first few sightings of coyotes in New York City in the late 90s and the 2000s. And since we've done our research, we've seen that they've increased, can't unambiguously say in number, but definitely in the number of places where we find them, the number of parks where we find them, they have increased in the Bronx steadily. And now my impression as to the reason we're seeing them in Manhattan and Queens now is because the Bronx is getting a bit full. And so this is the pattern we've seen with coyotes across the continent. Like I said, you know, as pups are born and they grow up, they eventually want to leave and find their own territories. And in a place where you're kind of, you know, there's an occupied area and adjacent to a place where there are no coyotes, that's likely where the young are going to go, or at least are going to go and then thrive. So it's just this general expansion that we've seen, like I said, in New York since the 40s.
So you're saying that this is a natural increase of the population that would migrate into a dense urban environment?
Yes, the coyotes are doing it on their own for a variety of reasons, and there's arguments about this, but they were somehow released from their original range, which was the prairies and the deserts of the Southwest primarily. But like I said, there's people who disagree with what their real historical range was. But they've certainly increased in abundance across a much larger area than where we historically found them. And people think that's for many reasons, namely on the East Coast, you know, the return of forest is the main reason. We used to, if you think back to your history books, when hundreds or more years ago, the European colonists and eventually, of course, our ancestor Americans basically leveled the whole or cleared the entire East Coast and Appalachia. But then when farming moved out to the prairies, the forest grew back. It wasn't as profitable or as efficient to farm out here. And now we have more forest cover than we've had in hundreds, possibly thousands of years. And so that left a vacancy for the coyotes, because even though the forest came back, the wolves didn't. And a lot of people think that wolves are what kind of keep the coyote range limited historically.
The forests in the East Coast of the United States and out into the Appalachian areas were essentially cleared?
Pretty much. Yeah, for farming, you know, if you can imagine, you know, European and you know, the growth of America went from east to west. So the first places that we farmed and produced, you know, practiced agriculture, intense European-style agriculture, was the East Coast. And if you take a walk around most of New York, other than perhaps the Adirondacks, which were protected for a long time, you'll see stone walls all through the forest. If you see stone walls, you'll know that some time ago, the forest you're seeing was not there, and it was some kind of farmland or pasture land or something. So most of the places in my area where I work, Westchester County, the forest is 100 years or less old. And that happened all across the region. And so it leads to lots of things, a lot of these urban, you know, these appearances of different species in urban or suburban areas are due to that. For example, white-tailed deer are super abundant now. And we're even seeing, as the forest ages, some of the species that we never would have expected in the suburbs, we're starting to see those, such as bobcat or even fisher and black bear in some places. And I'm sure there's a lot of suburban residents that kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yes, and I was going to ask you, what does the increase of these particular mammals mean about the health of an ecosystem?
Well, that's a very, very big question. Regarding coyotes, I think that it's generally a good thing from an ecological standpoint and many other standpoints to have them return. Like I said, we basically killed all of the top predators in the past, and the coyote seems to be taking over that role that the wolves, the cougars, did. Now, a coyote is not a wolf, and a coyote is not a cougar, so it's a big kind of question as to how well they can fulfill that role as a predator. But it's certainly an interesting research, and it's certainly interesting, like, social event that we're witnessing.
Dr. Chris Nagy, the Director of Research and Land Management at the Mayanus River Gorge in Bedford, New York, and with the Gotham Coyote Project, can you tell listeners how to get more information on this topic?
Sure. You can go to GothamCoyote.com. That's our website for this project specifically. You can also go to Mayanus.org, M-I-A-N-U-S.org, to see, that's my institutional website, so you can learn more about everything I do all day. Either of those websites will have my direct contact info if anyone's interested in learning more.
Well, that's excellent. Dr. Chris Nagy, thank you so much for being on Another News.
Sure. No problem. Anytime.
We're joined today by Jeff, who started Positive Changes That Are Occurring, one of the longest-running threads on etherecwarriors.com. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You've developed one of the most intriguing and groundbreaking threads on the Etheric Warriors Forum. It's called Positive Changes That Are Occurring. Could you give us a summary of what this is about, what this thread is about, and why you created it?
Sure. I was corresponding with Don Croft, who runs the Etheric Warriors Forum privately, about the amazing positive changes we're seeing at literally all levels of our society, of our world. And he said, why don't you start a thread about it? So I did. That was back in June of 2013. And examples of those positive changes include nature booming and burgeoning to a level not seen in my lifetime, precipitous drops in crime rates, drops in the divorce rate, gambling. It's a very long list.
You mentioned the booming and burgeoning of animal and plant species and a controlled media bent on defraying that good news. What are you basing that on?
Well, let me give you an example. And for the listeners, know that the column is filled with examples from the mainstream media, with dates and often links to those examples. On February 23rd, 2015, so just this year, a story was published, and the headline was, Climate Change is Really Bad News If You Like Oysters, Scallops, and Clams. So that tells us that scallops aren't doing well because of climate change, right? Well, just a few months later in August, another story was published telling about a record number of young scallops in the Mid-Atlantic, saying specifically, recent surveys by researchers at the Virginia Institute of Marine Science reveal an unprecedented number of young scallops in two fishery management areas off the Mid-Atlantic coast. So that shows us empirically scallops are doing better than they ever have in history. And so it's an assertion backed up by an example, by data. So what happened to climate change hurting the scallops? That, you'll notice, was said in a more general way. And I have concluded it's a lie that they're telling you so they can take your money to supposedly pay for climate healing so they can save the scallops.
Jeff, do you have any other examples? That's a really good one.
I've got a million of them. And we're trying to cover this thread in a short period of time, and it literally comprises hundreds and hundreds of posts. So forgive the listener if this gets a little dense. Another example, in April of 2014, the headline is, The Maine Lobster Population is in the Midst of a Steady Decline. Well, that's kind of upsetting, right? But just a week earlier, a story was published with the headline, Maine's Lobster Industry Enjoyed Record Numbers Over the Past 3 Years. So one would ask, how can the Maine lobster population be in the middle of a steady decline when it's enjoyed record numbers over the past 3 years? Well, it can't. The first statement that they are in decline, from my perspective, is a lie. And I think we can infer that because the first statement is a generality in the midst of a steady decline versus the second statement, which is specific record numbers over the last 3 years. You with me?
I am, Jeff, yes. Do you ever get challenged on your assertions here?
The forum membership's extremely discerning. And the few times, from my perspective, that I haven't been on point, there are folks calling me on it. And you can go back through the thread and see those examples where people will say, hey, what about X or what about Y? But it doesn't happen often because I tend to speak very, very simply, very specifically.
Absolutely. And in preparing for this interview, you were extremely precise about the questions, and a lot of guests don't usually do that. The more precise, the easier it is to grasp. Now, Jeff, can you give us some more examples of this doublespeak you're uncovering?
Well, the thread covers different communication methods that are used by the few to control the many. And those methods are simple and repetitive and formulaic. So what I'm trying to do is break them down almost in an academic way and say, look at the tactic being used. Here it's being used again. Here it's being used again. So it's sort of a teach a man to fish sort of thing. But often when booming or burgeoning wildlife is talked about, it'll be connected with something negative. And so I'm going to give you a couple examples of that. Wildlife population boom creating costly mess. Squirrel population boom frustrates fruit growers. Blue catfish boom threatens regions' river ecosystems. Booming New England seal population creates a management challenge. And these are four out of dozens and dozens of examples. And at times I will compile posts that are comprised of every example I can find of that sort of technique so people can see it being used over time. And I think that it makes it more difficult to say, oh, well, that was just an accident editorially. You can see the pattern if you look at it over time. But to move into doublespeak, one of the things that I talk a lot about in the forum, and I'm cruising through my notes here to see if I can find it, is George Orwell's concept of doublethink. Orwell defined doublethink as the acceptance of or mental capacity to accept contrary opinions or beliefs at the same time, especially as the result of political indoctrination. And that's kind of vague in general. So I'm going to give a specific example. In July of 2014, just a year ago, we read a headline saying, SoCal ocean's dying. No squid, sardines, pelicans. But just 1 month earlier, we read a story about the Malibu Lagoon, which is in Southern California, and it says, I was just sort of flabbergasted at seeing 3,500 brown pelicans resting in Malibu Lagoon, Cooper said. I checked my notes, and I have numbers in the hundreds, but I've never seen anything like that. Now, we know that Malibu is in Southern California. If record numbers of pelicans are resting in Malibu Lagoon, how can SoCal oceans be dying, as the first story alleged? Mm-hmm. Well, they can't be. The claim, SoCal oceans dying, no pelicans, is a lie. And what tips it off is that the lie is a broad, generic statement. SoCal oceans dying, no pelicans. Whereas the truthful statement is specific, fact-based. 3,500 pelicans nesting in Malibu Lagoon. I've never seen anything like that. Let me give you another example. In August of 2014, there's a headline that says, as oysters die, climate policy goes on the stump. And just a few months earlier in May of 2014, we read, the Chesapeake Bay's oyster population has more than doubled since 2010 and has reached its highest point since monitoring began in 1985. If the Chesapeake Bay's oyster population has doubled in 4 years, and it is at its highest level since monitoring began, how is climate change causing oysters to die? Well, it isn't. It is, again, a broad general statement that is also a lie. And it's refuted by that specific data that I mentioned, more than doubled, highest point since monitoring began. Can you see the pattern?
Yes, and very few people have revealed a pattern like this. In fact, I don't know who else has done this level of work, but the pattern does emerge. Jeff, if you could, give us more examples.
sure. In August of this year, just a month ago, according to many marine biologists, Atlantic bluefin tuna, one of three closely related bluefin tuna species, are in danger of going extinct within a decade if the governments of the world can't come together to ban catching and or selling lucrative species. Very clear sentence, right? Bluefin tuna are in danger of going extinct within a decade if we don't take action.
Mm-hmm.
3 months before, 4 months before in April, there are about 30,000 metric tons, roughly 66 million pounds, of adult bluefin tuna in the Western Atlantic, according to the 2014 stock assessment. Those population levels haven't been seen since the early 80s. So we've been presented with these two wildly opposing statements. How can bluefin tuna be in danger of going extinct in a decade if there are population levels that haven't been seen since the 1980s? Well, they are not in danger of going extinct in a decade, because that's another vague general statement. It's a lie, and it's refuted directly by data, a factual example that I presented, at population levels not seen since the 1980s. So you can see how broad emotional statements are used to create an impression that does not, in fact, exist. One of my favorites has to be, in July of 2012, hot summer leads to record low number of tornadoes. Okay, so hot weather lowers the number of tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
In September of 2014, Oklahoma's low tornado count, result of cold weather. So how is thinking that both hot weather and cold weather cause low numbers of tornadoes not exactly what Orwell defined, which is accepting contrary opinions or beliefs at the same time, especially as a result of political indoctrination?
We're getting the beeps. I'll leave them in. I think it's interesting that the beeps have started on this phone call, on this interview. July 30th, 2012, hot summer leads to record low number of tornadoes. Then September 3rd, 2014, Oklahoma's low tornado count, result of cold weather. What's going on here? Is this sloppiness or is this deliberate?
Well, if you look at a larger pattern, you can't go with sloppiness. You just can't. And there are some examples where I'm almost embarrassed. When I publish the posts, I'll say, I'm sorry for the length of this, but I will prove a point with examples over, you know, years, literally hundreds of examples over years. So it keeps the subconscious from slipping into the, oh, it's just slipshod journalism. It's a pattern, right, a repeating pattern. Here's another.
Mm-hmm.
February 2015 from birdlife.org. Many albatross species are in alarming slow decline. Wow, that's upsetting, right? But January, just a month before, 2 weeks before, record numbers of albatross nest on Midway Atoll National Wildlife Refuge. So, are albatrosses in an alarming slow decline, or are there record numbers of albatross? The same pattern. Alarming slow decline is a broad general emotional statement. It's a lie. And that's refuted by specific data, record numbers of albatross. This is merely 1/10 or 1/100 of the examples on the forum. And I encourage listeners to go check out the thread and peruse it for themselves. These are my own subjective assessments that I'm making, right? I'm not an authority, just a guy, but I'm trying to create a public record, and I'm also sort of trying to create a dialogue about a subject.
And the website is etheric warriors.com, the two words together, etheric warriors.com, and the name of the thread by Jeff, our guest, is Positive Changes That Are Occurring. I wanted to stay on the double thing for a minute and get your opinion on what is the value of having these stories so starkly opposed to each other. What does that do to a viewer, to a listener, or someone reading these articles, or maybe just reading one, and they happen to keep reading the same negative news story, and they don't see the one that is probably true because of the specific data in it?
Well, there are a couple different questions there. If you see the negative news and you're not aware of the positive news, the truthful positive news that rebuts it, you're going to think that the negative is correct. Scallops are in trouble because of climate change, the newspaper told me. So you can manipulate thought and public opinion by simply saying stuff that's not true and hoping people don't check your facts. When they come right out and say the conflicting stuff, I believe it's part of what's called a strategy of tension. You don't know what to believe. It's the baffled herd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I read that the scallops were okay, and I read that they were in trouble. I just don't know what to believe. So it just kind of makes you less powerful, less incisive, more controllable. That's the best I can do on what is the underlying reason for the tactic. I'm content to just say, hey, this tactic's being used, and I don't think it's being used for a wholesome purpose. That's about as far as I can take it.
It's a tactic and not an accident. This is a deliberate method to create confusion, a schizophrenia within the collective mind. It's a very good point where the more misleading this information is, the easier you can be controlled in your thinking. Jeff, you've illuminated some very important aspects here of the patterns within the mainstream media, specifically about the death and destruction of animals and the environment. This area that we just covered here specifically was about the doublethink, although some of the other areas also have the doublethink in them as well, but those were the favorited doublethink headlines that I asked you about, and they're very stark. It's really obvious, and I just want to go over this, the albatross one again. February 25th, 2015, many albatross species are in alarming slow decline. January 16th, 2015, record numbers of albatross nest on Midway Atoll National Wildlife Refuge. Okay, there it is. Again, this is one of hundreds of examples, and Jeff has just selected a few.
You'd asked me previously, what purpose does reporting negative news all the time serve? You know, why would anyone do such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
We've been told since we were young, that's what sells. Well, I don't think that's ever been true. And if it used to be true, I don't think it's true anymore. And I'm basing that on that assertion on these two quotes. And they're both from June of 2013. CNN plummeted in the second quarter this year to its lowest ratings since 1991. And the second quote is, traditional TV viewing by 18 to 24-year-olds has now dropped for at least five consecutive quarters. So you can see how, en masse, the populace is unhooking, disconnecting, saying, you know what, I'm not going to consume that. I don't enjoy it. Negative news makes you afraid. Fear is used to control. It's, we are the great and powerful Borg. Resistance is futile. And they'd love you to believe that. It's, I am the great and powerful Oz. And there was a miserable old con artist behind a curtain saying it. Once Dorothy and the rest of them recognized him for what he was, they didn't fear him anymore. He had no power anymore. So I'm kind of trying to strike the root of that whole complex as well. In August 2010, we read, the divorce rate is at its lowest point since the early 1970s, and infidelity has continued to decline. And I think that's really positive news.
Mm-hmm.
Had you ever heard that before I brought it to your attention?
Jeff, I have not. In fact, I've heard the opposite.
Right. And I think that's speaking directly to my point.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I say to myself, I'm going to try to find positive stuff that's going on, and I report on it, And then I look at the media coverage surrounding it and talk about all the stuff that we're talking about.
We're talking about positive changes that are occurring with our guest, Jeff, who posts on etheric warriors.com. We'll be right back after this break. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Jeff about his web posts titled Positive Changes That Are Occurring. All right, you mentioned that, you know, one of the tactics is negative news sells, and it hasn't worked. It's not selling. Can you elaborate more about that?
Well, again, fear, was it in Dune that Frank Herbert said fear is the mind killer? Fear is used to control. The more scared you are, the more ready you are to listen to people who say, hey, I'll save you. I'll make you not scared anymore, right? Someone who's strong and happy and confident is less likely to bite on the hook of a con artist, I would suggest.
Jeff, overarchingly, you dissect propaganda and the techniques that are used to control the many. Could you give some examples of that?
Sure. Do you mean besides lying? One of the techniques, and it's, again, very simple and repetitive, but it's a little more complex, involves the use of memes. And examples of those, and there are dozens and dozens, but some of the most common are the words mystery, baffled, and puzzled. And they're used to cover up lies, to mislead. And this is something that you'll see in the thread again and again. I'll give you a few examples. On August of just this year, just last month, we read, experts puzzled as 30 whales stranded in unusual mortality event in Alaska. Okay, that's upsetting. A bunch of whales died. And experts are puzzled. They don't know how it occurred, right? Now, I want you to compare that to these additional headlines. Mysterious whale deaths in Alaska baffle scientists. Scientists baffled over Chilean mass whale deaths. Experts puzzled by increase in stranded whales. Experts examine dead New Zealand killer whales. Remain puzzled. Experts puzzled by 9 beached whales on Italy's coast. Those examples range from 2009 to 2015, from Italy to New Zealand to Chile to Alaska. And those are 5 of dozens and dozens of similar examples. So I'm showing that whatever is going on is global, it's taking place over time, and the same exact terminology is being used to describe it and to cover it up. I mean, how could it be so confusing and so confounding for the experts for so long? I need to leave it to the listener to come to their own subjective conclusion as to what is going on. But that's an example of the use of memes. Here are, you know, we talk about mystery, baffled, and puzzled.
Mm-hmm.
These are those same memes used in regard to falling crime rates in 2 different parts of the world. Fall in UK crime rate baffles experts. steady decline in major crime in the U.S. baffles experts. Same language, same tactic, regardless of the subject. I don't know who could read those two sentences and imagine that it was a coincidence, but if such a person exists, they would then need to read the 110 examples that I've compiled chronologically. Now, most people would just bail and say, I'm out of here, I'm upset, or whatever. But I am trying not to convince individuals, but to prove something scientifically, right?
Right. You know, you appeal to the listener to come up with their own conclusion as to what would be going on, specifically about the whales. And the mainstream press, owned by large corporations, or even with military connections, you have the possibility that the military is involved with specific training exercises using sonar, sonic technology, that often is reported to kill whales and other cetaceans, directly or indirectly. So that's the subjective conclusion that some people might come to, and the mainstream reporter will say, we're baffled.
Well, they will say, we checked with the top minds in the world on the subject, and they are baffled, right? But I would simply say, why is the same language being used to describe dropping crime in the United States and the United Kingdom? Why is the identical language being used, and why are experts baffled? Why wouldn't a more salient or coherent analysis of dropping crime be offered? You with me? So with the whales, I'm saying, well, why are experts serially baffled about this subject?
And
you with me? It almost doesn't matter the subject we're discussing.
Okay, yes. All right. So I tend to get really involved in the content here, but I see what you're pointing out. Why that specific word, and that word comes up again and again, along with mystery and puzzled.
Yeah, let me interject. Sorry to cut you off. What it does is the subconscious is looking for any excuse to not get involved, to go back to the television program you're watching. So if something uncomfortable comes up, the disinformation artist will proffer a meme or an explanation. Experts baffled. So the person who doesn't want to get involved, who doesn't want to take responsibility, and that's most people, will say, you know what? I'm unhooking. Experts are baffled. Why would I get involved if they can't figure it out? The threat is done in a stream of consciousness sort of way, and then I will simply go, oh, here's a positive story. What's it have to say? How's it being reported on? But then over time, I have a master document that I can keyword search. So I have sub-documents, for instance, like, okay, nature's booming and burgeoning to a level not seen in my lifetime. I've got a specific document I prepared on cod. It took me like 12 minutes to produce it because all I had to do is keyword search cod. But then you can see how all of the techniques and tactics are being used just as it regards codfish, right? Or I'll say, okay, let's look at the use of the word mystery. And we'll see the use of that meme term to control over a variety of subjects. So the threat is at once informative and explanatory about various subjects, but I think it's more important an examination of formulaic repetitive vehicles used in the media to influence public opinion and thought.
Well, Jeff, you've been posting on this thread for a couple of years now, almost 3 years, right?
No, I think it's since, mid-2013, so a couple of years now.
A couple of years, and I wonder, are you seeing any patterns as you continue to do this in terms of less key words, such as mystery, baffled, puzzled, less doublethink? Do you see that subsiding, or is it just a steady pattern?
It's a steady pattern, and it's increasing. And the reason it's increasing is that the positive changes that are occurring are increasing in scope and magnitude. It's a 1, 2, 4, 8 sort of thing that's going on. So, yeah, it's increasing and not decreasing, but I think the good news is it's increasing for a positive reason. Now, this is not in my notes. I just posted on the forum that the term conspiracy theory no longer has the power to make people think a subject less veritable. A guy did a couple of repeat experiments, and he found that it wasn't people's view wasn't changing, whether it was presented as a conspiracy theory or an opinion in various articles. So I think The Boy Who Cried Wolf is a very compelling fairy tale to us all because of exactly this. You can't con people the same way forever. They'll get wise to the con, right? So I think people are getting wise to the con, and I didn't know all the stuff you and I are talking about for my whole life. I've just figured it out organically myself, kind of as I've been going through this process. So I think it's a great time to be alive. I think, you know, again, amazing positive changes are occurring in the world at this time.
Yes, and there are so many, I feel, noble causes with wonderful people working behind them who are sort of mired in the negative news, and it's somehow fueling their cause. What are your thoughts on that paradigm?
Well, you might have to almost study addiction to figure it out. You have to figure out you have a problem before you can get clean, right? I think that's the Alcoholics Anonymous thing. And every meeting you say, my name is John Smith or Jane Doe, and I'm an alcoholic, right? You have to come to terms with what's going on. And so there's denial, anger, bargaining, yada, yada, right? And everyone's got their process. So that's why I think I noted to you the other day, some people are going to say, oh, this thread resonates with me very positively. Some will say, this is a bunch of balderdash. Some will say, this makes me angry. Everyone's in their process, and no, there's no one correct point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but to me, being able to say, there are a lot of positive things going on right now, like dropping crime rates. Crime rates are at levels in our society that haven't been seen since the 60s or even the 50s or even before. And here's one specific example to back up that assertion from January of this year. The murder rate in Nashville hit a historic low for the second year in a row. That means the lowest ever in history. Now, here's the lie that is used in the media to rebut that truth from September of this year. Murder rates are rising across America, but nobody knows why. Notice that's a general statement. Rising across America, nobody knows why. Nobody knows why is a spin on the mystery meme.
Mm-hmm.
They're baffled. They're puzzled. Nobody knows why. Now, here's another specific example that shows crime rates are not rising in New York from July of this year. New York City on pace for less than 100,000 felony crimes for the first time in history. Wow. Ever. And it's very specific. So why in that context just 3 weeks later would we read spike in New York City homicide shootings despite summer anti-crime push, NYPD data show. Spike in homicides, that's general, it's vague. But what kind of spike? How big was it? How does that compare to the crime rates for the whole year? It's purposefully vague. Whereas less than 100,000 felonies for the first time in history is specific. And I personally believe that truth is stronger than any lie, any spin, any misinformation. So there's great power in simply presenting the truth of what's going on, which is less than 100,000 felonies for the first time in New York history.
Very specific numbers.
Yep. And I would encourage anyone listening to check out the thread and peruse it. It's up over 40 pages, and there's 800 posts. I'd reckon it would keep you busy for a while if you started at the beginning.
And that can be found at etherecwarriors.com. And look for Jeff's thread, Positive Changes That Are Occurring. You've described some of your process in creating these threads and posting them onto the Etheric Warriors website. Give us a little more information about what that process is like.
Well, you know, it's funny. I open up mainstream news organs, only mainstream news organs usually, and I'll look for positive news. And it's funny, it takes, you got to dig a little to find it. But there's always some there. And as soon as I find something that I think's positive, I think to myself, well, does this fit my narrow general thesis? Because I don't want to get too broad here. And if it does, I'll say, check out this positive thing that's occurring. And then I'll begin researching that subject and present other points of view on it in the media. And I will put what I consider to be truthful comments in bold. I'll put what I consider to be lies or slanted reportage in italics. And that's pretty much the process. Now, I'd note that other folks on the forum send me links all the time, and I use them and I credit them. And sometimes folks on the forum will simply put their own posts in the thread. And it's my great hope that eventually this thing takes off and it's a whole bunch of people chiming in all the time, right? But just between the few of us who are involved, there's plenty of material, as it were. So I'm again saying I need to hammer a narrow thesis, and I need to do so as concisely and repetitively as possible. Because I'm proving a thesis over time, I'm doing a science experiment.
Somebody mentioned it as almost a martial arts move in terms of the leverage. Describe that a little bit.
Well, someone on the forum said something to the effect of, nice jiu-jitsu move, Jeff, and I think what they're referring to is using your opponent's mass and energy against them. You know, you don't stand in the way of the charging person, you step aside, grab their cloak, and throw them aside, right? But the more general and nonspecific one can be in discussing these subjects, the easier it is, because there's dense programming surrounding all of these subjects, and everyone's got a point of view. So I've tried to pull up and up and up and away from it. So we're speaking about the subject in generality, saying, like, everyone knows the concept of the 1%. The common man will talk about the 1%. Well, I talk about how the fair-seeming, two-faced, sociopathic few control the many through these techniques. And they are the 1%. So everyone agrees with me already, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that people don't want to be disturbed in their pet areas, and everyone's got areas, you know? I'm a Republican, you're a Democrat, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep the conversation almost up above such things, which is why I'm saying, okay, here are six examples of the word puzzled cross-referenced against whale strandings. Why is this language being used in this way in connection with this subject, right? Or then, why is this word being used in this way in connection with all these subjects? Can you see how we're not getting specific?
Yes, and what are some of the long-term goals here with this thread? Are you hoping to accomplish?
I've been asked continuously, when are you going to publish? When are you going to write a book? When are you going to create a blog? And I've said never. And I thought long and hard about coming on this radio show because it's not me on a soapbox with a megaphone. You know, walking around with a sandwich board saying the end is nigh is not going to get the aha moment to occur for humanity. It's to me, it's a scholastic exercise. It is a, I'm like, hey, check me here. This is just my subjective impressions. Am I crazy or am I onto something? And so to me, what I do is valuable because it's a valuable public record in a time when the media is not reporting this stuff. So you will literally not believe the amount of positive news when you log onto the forum and go, holy crap, look at these 27 examples of burgeoning life just from August. All the news told me was poor Mother Gaia is dying, right? And again, notice how that's general, and my examples are specific. So the truth that I'm laying down is going to short-circuit that vague negative programming. And everyone on the forum is so gracious and positive, saying, good work, keep it up. And but again, I feel like I'm kind of just writing a journal, right?
Well, it's very uplifting to read, and you can actually feel the programming break, you know, whatever is left for some readers, but also the regular person reading will sort of experience that if they're open to some of the concepts that you bring forth. I wonder what about your, you know, friends and colleagues, and when you talk about this, can you just walk around and look around in your environment and see the examples as well?
Well, I think it's very important to remember. It's like if someone's not ready to assimilate information, forcing it upon them is going to have a negative effect. So if I confront somebody with something positive that's occurring and that's not where they're at, they're just going to be upset at me. So it's a delicate balance. I try to just kind of hang out with, you know, etheric warriors. I'm hanging out with a bunch of like-minded folks, and they are all collegially watching the science experiment sort of move forward. But I don't want this coming at me out of my television or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? It's sort of like this is simply the art of personal discernment, and I'm trying to offer a private tutorial or suggestions on how to do that more effectively. But that's not something you would ever do unless someone asked you, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't know. I remember some Lao Tzu quotes in which he's talking about you don't focus on rank and title, you focus on being nothing, right? That's where the real power is.
Yes, the power of the yin.
But yeah, it makes me happy because I start my day and I log on to the news and I go, oh, wow, look at this. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that before this moment. And it just happened. And then I'll get to talk about it. And since I've been a kid, people have said to me, you're the most positive guy I know. Whereas my own self-image is that of a tired cynic, you know? So it makes me really happy that what's coming out the tailpipe is positivity. That's the goal.
I wondered, Jeff, about your opinions on the collective mind absorbing all this negative news and the output of that, what that does for our world, our society, and why it's important to keep it that way for the 1%, if you will. But I wondered about your opinion of what that impact is now and what that impact could look like when it's flipped.
Well, you could buy and own a slave 150 years ago. We could go down to the auction and we could each buy one and we'd own them the rest of our lives and we'd name them something else and it's just nuts, right? 100 years ago, I'm going to go vote. Oh, sorry, my wife can't come. She's not allowed. So you can see that we're evolving at a mighty pace. We're lifting up and lifting up. So it's like the confusion or the people thinking things are getting so much worse is just, that's a ridiculous fantasy. And I think I prove it again and again on a daily basis.
Jeff, one thing that we didn't hit is the Earth is warming stories that you've also posted. Why didn't you want to talk about that?
Well, first let me clarify for the listeners that the planet is not warming. It is, temperatures have been flat for 20 years, and in fact, now it's cooling. The subject, our state religion holds that poor Mother Gaia is dying, crushed by the virus-like burden of mankind. And a tenet of that religion is that carbon in our atmosphere is making it warmer. There's incredibly polarized debate on this subject, and it's very emotional. So I'm focusing on subjects that people can more easily get behind, like we shouldn't kill baby whales. Everyone can understand that. whereas people are more polarized in regard to, say, the climate. Now, I hit the climate issue hard on Etheric Warriors. And again, someone might log on and go, hey, you know what, this stuff about the whales is resonating with me, however, I think you're crazy about the climate or whatever. But I haven't approached it here because I'm trying to provide a as non-threatening as possible an overview of what I'm doing in the case that someone might be interested in and want to go check it out. But again, it's like I'm no authority. However, I majored in English in college. I can say all day long, hey, look, these two sentences are exactly the same. And you, the reader, the listener, would have to say, he's right. Or, you know what, I disagree. But I tend to say stuff that's not refutable, like these two sentences are identical. Why is that? So I'm trying to deconstruct this in as non-emotional a way as possible because there's such dense programming surrounding all these subjects and has been for all of our lives and back, you know, decades and hundreds of years.
Jeff, if listeners want to reach you, is there an address or any way to get in touch with you if they want to send you a message or more information?
They can send you correspondence and I will review it.
Okay. My email address is inothernewsradio@yahoo.com, and I will forward that to Jeff. Jeff, your work is very intriguing, really interesting, and uplifting. I know at first you didn't want to do this, but I'm glad you did, because your work specifically and the time that you put in, it needs to get out there to more people so they can visit the site and your thread at etherecwarriors.com. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, you're very gracious, and your positive feedback means the world to me, Jeff. Thank you.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for more information about the guests.